Fuller's lecture at the university next morning. Mr. Fubar, in his sophisticated, primitive way, like Simon Moon, in his primitive, sophisticated way, saw no conflict between magic and mathematics. In Washington, D.C., the clocks were striking 5 when Ben Volpe's stolen Volkswagen pulled up in front of the home of Senator Edward Coke Bacon, the nation's most distinguished liberal and leading hope of all those young people who hadn't yet joined the Morituri groups.
"In quick and out quick,"
Ben Volpe said tersely to his companions.
"A cowboy."
Senator Bacon turned in his bed. Albert, the teacher stern, fires directly at the Dutchman and mumbled,
"Newark."
Beside him, his wife half woke and heard a noise in the garden.
"Mama, mama, mama,"
the Dutchman mumbles.
"Mama."
She hears her son's voice saying as she sinks back toward a dream. The rain of bullets jolts her awake into a sea of blood, and in one flash, she sees her husband dying beside her, her son, 20 years ago, weeping for a dead turtle, the face of Mendy Weiss and Ben Volpe and 2 others backing out of the room. But in 1936, when Robert Putney Drake returned from Europe to accept a vice presidency in his father's bank in Boston, the police already knew that Albert the teacher really hadn't shot the Dutchman. There were even a few, such as Elliot Ness, who knew the orders had come from Mr. Lucky Luciano and Mr. Alphonse Scarface Capone, residing in the Atlanta penitentiary, and had been transmitted through Federico Maldonado. Nobody outside the syndicate itself, however, could name Jimmy the Shrew, Charlie the Bug, and Mendy Weiss as the actual killers. Nobody except Robert Putney Drake. On April 1, 1936, Federico Maldonado's phone rang, and when he answered it, a cultivated Boston voice said conversationally,
"Mother is the best bet. Don't let Satan draw you too fast."
This was followed by an immediate click as the caller hung up. Maldonado thought about it all day, and finally mentioned it to a very close friend that evening.
"Some nut calls me up today and gives me part of what the Dutchman told the cops before he died. A funny thing about it, he gives one of the parts that would really sink us all, if anybody in the police or the feds could understand it."
"That's the way some nuts are,"
pronounced the other mafioso don, an elegant, elderly gentleman resembling one of Frederick II's falcons.
"They're tuned in like gypsies. Telepathy, you know. But they get it all scrambled because they're nuts."
"Yeah, I guess that's it,"
Maldonado agreed. He had a crazy uncle who would sometimes blurt out a brotherhood secret that he couldn't possibly know in the middle of ramblings about priests making it with altar boys and Mussolini hiding on the fire escape and nonsense like that.
They tune in like the eye, eh?
But the next morning, the phone rang again, and the same voice said with elaborate New England intonation,
"Those dirty rats have tuned in. French-Canadian bean soup."
Maldonado broke into a cold sweat. It was that moment, in fact, when he decided his son, the priest, would say a mass for the Dutchman every Sunday. He thought about it all day.
"Boston. The accent was Boston. They had witches up there once. French-Canadian bean soup. Christ, Harvard is just outside Boston, and Hoover's recruiting feds from the Harvard Law School. Were there lawyers who were witches, too? Cowboy, that son of a bitch, I told them, and they found him in the men's crapper. That damn Dutchman, a bullet in his gut, and he lives long enough to blab everything about the Segreto, that goddamn Terici."
Robert Putney Drake dined on Lobster Newburgh that evening with a young lady from one of the lesser-known branches of the House of Morgan. Afterward, he took her to see Tobacco Road, and in the cab back to his hotel, they talked seriously about the sufferings of the poor and the power of Henry Hull's performance as Jeter. Then he took her up to his room and fucked her from hell to breakfast. At 10 in the morning, after she had left, he came out of the shower, stark naked, 33 years old, rich, handsome, feeling like a healthy and happy predatory mammal. He looked down at his penis, thought of snakes and mescaline visions back in Zurich, and donned a bathrobe which cost enough to feed one of the starving families in the nearby slums for about 6 months. He lit a fat Cuban cigar and sat down by the phone. A male mammal, predatory, happy. He began to dial, listening to the clicks.